thousands of teachers in Chicago didn't start their week in the classroom. They were here. You're about to find out why, because that story is first up in today's edition of CNN Student News. Chicago has the third largest district in the United States, but a lot of its schools didn't open yesterday, and that is because the teachers' union, which represents nearly 30,000 Chicago teachers and other school staff, went on strike. That means around 350,000 students had an unplanned day off on Monday. The union's been negotiating with city officials on a new contract. As of yesterday, they had not reached a deal. Teacher salaries are part of the issue here. The two sides are pretty close on that. The big sticking point seems to be over job security for teachers and how they're evaluated. Even though they hadn't made an agreement, the city and the teachers' union have both talked about the progress being made, and some parents are angry about this situation.
I believe that what has been discussed over the last 100-plus meetings over 5 months, over 400 hours, is an agreement that is an honest compromise, that respects our teachers, does right by our kids, and is fair to our taxpayers.
We are here to negotiate for better schools in Chicago, period, the end, and a fair contract to go along with that.
My kids is at home missing out on all their education, so now they get to go home and play around and pretend like this is a fun day. This ain't fun for nobody.
For Americans and for many people around the world, today is a day of mourning and remembrance. 11 years ago, September 11, 2001, terrorist attacks claimed the lives of nearly 3,000 people. Most of those were killed in New York City, where hijackers flew two planes into the World Trade Center's Twin Towers. Every year since then, mourners gather at the memorial site that's been built in that same location. Others pay tribute in Washington, D.C., like in this video from last year. That's where a third hijacked plane crashed into the Pentagon building. A fourth plane crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, after passengers tried to disrupt the hijackers. A memorial has been built there as well. The 9/11 terrorist attacks led to the war in Afghanistan. That's because the Taliban, the militant group that was running most of Afghanistan in 2001, allowed members of the Al-Qaeda terrorist group to live and train there. Now, U.S. and other international forces are gradually turning control of Afghanistan back over to Afghan authorities. What you're seeing here is another side of that handover. American troops transferring a prison at Bagram Air Base over to Afghan control. The U.S. didn't turn over all of the prisoners, though. It held on to a handful that it considers high-value members of the Taliban until unspecified U.S. concerns are addressed by Afghan leaders. This transfer of power is happening all over Afghanistan. Anna Koren examines how that's going and the role that the Taliban is playing.
At the foothills of Syed Abad in central Afghanistan, smoke rises from an army outpost. These smoldering ruins signal the end of a battle the Taliban claims to have won. They say U.S. forces handed over this post in Wardak province to the Afghan National Army back in July. And that after weeks of relentless fighting, the Taliban forced the army troops to flee, and the outpost is now under Taliban control. A spokesman for coalition forces dismisses such claims, saying that while the transfer of power is happening, there's no evidence to suggest Afghan forces are losing ground.
This was sheer propaganda, and this is one of the few things that are left for the Taliban.
But violence is on the rise across this war-ravaged country, making the transition that much more difficult. Under Mount Daruliman on the outskirts of Kabul, in between the ruins of the King's and Queen's palaces destroyed during the civil war that followed the Soviet occupation, is the training headquarters for the Afghan National Army, often referred to as the ANA. It's here where army recruits learn the skills to fight the insurgency. They used to be under the guidance of the British Army. Sure. Now Brigadier Richard Dennis, the deputy commander of NATO's training mission, is here as a guest.
The Afghan National Army is doing better than we thought they would and better than they thought they could. What you see behind me here is the evidence of that.
While these training schools, which are now 90% Afghan-led, are a positive sign this transition is working, there are serious concerns whether the Afghan forces, both army and police, will be ready to take over their nation's security after the foreign combat troops leave here in 2014.